of God with me tonight to Psalm 73. Psalm 73. The text for the sermon tonight is going to be verses 23 and 24 of this psalm. Let's read the entire psalm for our Bible reading this evening. This is God's Word in Psalm 73, the title of which is a Psalm of Asaph. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain, and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued, and chastened every morning. If I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. So far we read God's holy and inspired word. Let's read together again verses 23 and 24. Psalm 73, verses 23 and 24. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the text for the sermon tonight comes from Psalm 73. I preached a series of sermons, about 10 or 11 sermons on Psalm 73 that just came to a conclusion this past Sunday night. And so I use one of those sermons from that series that I preached for preaching to you this evening. One of the reasons I preached a series through Psalm 73 is exactly because of this particular portion of God's Word in this psalm. The entire psalm is instructive for many different reasons. There's something about the end of Psalm 73, especially when you understand it into the context of the entire psalm, that makes it one of the most beautiful portions of the Psalms. And especially it starts here with these words in verses 22 and 23, or rather 23 and 24. Glorious words of comfort, that God is always with us, that He holds us with His right hand, that He guides us with His counsel, and one day afterward will lead us to glory. That's those words that I expound to you this evening. I'd like to use for the theme of the sermon tonight, the life and end of the righteous. The life and end of the righteous. The text describes both of those clearly, what our life is in connection with what God does to us, and then what our end is as it talks about being led to glory. To develop that theme, let's consider these three points. In the first place, let's consider the fact that we are held by God. In the second place, that we are guided by God. And then in the third place, that we are received by God. The life and end of the righteous, held by, guided by, and received by God. The first word of the text is nevertheless. Verse 23, nevertheless, I am continually with thee. That word nevertheless in verse 23 puts the words of our text in a direct relationship with the previous context, and particularly the previous two verses, 21 and 22. Thus was my heart grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant, I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless. And the idea of the nevertheless is that that was true. 21 and 22 are true. I was ignorant. I was foolish. I was as a beast before God. But though that was true, this too is also true. I was continually with God. And I was held by my right hand by God. And that leads us to consider briefly tonight the context of these verses. What Asaph is describing in those previous couple of verses is a very difficult time in his life. Psalm 73 is a very personal psalm that relays the personal struggle of Asaph. And very briefly and generally, the main point of Psalm 73 is that Asaph, for a time in his life, was foolishly envious of the wicked. He saw the wicked in their lives, in their prosperity. Their earthly circumstances were well. And he looked at them, and he was envious of what they had and what their life was like. And in direct relationship to that, Asaph's struggle involved a doubting of God's goodness to him personally. He looked at the wicked, and their life was prosperous. He looked at his own life, and his life was one of great struggle and difficulty. He was plagued. He was chastened all the day and all the night long. And so not only did he envy the wicked in their prosperity, but in that struggle, he doubted sinfully God's love for him personally. And he did that on the basis of what he was experiencing in his life with his outward circumstances. In the previous context, the words before the nevertheless, what Asaph is doing is saying, this is what I was like during that time. At this point in the psalm, he's been brought to repentance. He understands the truth of God clearly. And he says, looking back on that period of his life, I was foolish. I was ignorant. I was as a beast before God. That's a way of confessing his sin before God and the sorrow over his sin. But he follows that with the words of our text. Though I was like that, nevertheless, this was always true. He was with God. And he was held by his right hand. What I want to focus on at the beginning here is that idea of being held by God. That language of being held by God at the end of verse 23, "Thou hast holden me by my right hand," harps back to the figure that is brought up in verse 2 of Psalm 73. Psalm 73 verse 2 says, "But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped." So he's describing what was taking place, as I just explained it a moment ago briefly. And he puts it into the figure of almost falling. And when we read verse 2, the figure that we have to have in our mind is not that of a person walking on a sidewalk and one of the pieces of concrete is a little bit higher than the others, and you stub your foot on that piece of concrete that's raised, and you almost fall. And if you would have fallen, normally, it wouldn't be that big of a deal. You maybe hurt a little bit, you get right back up, you continue to go. That's not the idea of verse 2 in Psalm 73. Think in your mind, rather, of going on the side of a cliff in a very treacherous terrain. That if your feet were to slip and you were to fall, it's not a minor deal like you're on a sidewalk, but you slip and you fall and you're going down the side of the cliff and the end is death. He says in verse 2 of Psalm 73, that almost happened. I didn't fall, but my feet were close to slipping and falling. Our text goes back to that figure. And looking back on that, Asaph says in verse 23, "Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Though I was envious of the wicked sinfully in their prosperity, though I was doubting God's goodness to me personally because my outward life was so hard, though I was sinning as a beast before God, yet God was holding me by my right hand." The truth here, clearly expounded in these verses, is that of the preservation of the saints. That if you are a child of God, if you are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, God will never let you go. And now think about this personally for you in your life. I've been describing it thus far in the context of Asaph, who reveals what he was going through. But we can all look at our lives and make this truth of God's Word very real in our minds. Maybe there was a time in your life, exactly like that of Asaph in his life, where you looked at the life that you were living and you questioned God. You doubted God. Maybe even were angry and bitter against God, because this was the lot in your life, which from an earthly point of view is so hard to go through. And though maybe nobody else knew it, deep down there was a very, very hard struggle going on, such that there was a very real doubt of God's love for you personally. And you can look back on that time right now as you sit in the house of God and you confidently express this truth: God is good to me. You can look back at that time and you can say, God was holding me. My right hand was firmly held. He did not let me go. Or maybe there was a time in your life in the past where you were entrapped by a particularly hard sin to break from. Certain sins of that nature manifest themselves in the lives of God's people at times. Come to church, live your life publicly, things are well, everyone thinks. But in reality, there's a double life going on as you're enslaved to a particular sin. Maybe the sin of pornography or gambling on the internet or whatever else. And things aren't right with God. You're not living as you're called to. believing and trusting in Jesus Christ in a life of penitence. But as a child of God, like all of the others who have fallen, who were part of the church, the Davids and the Peters and the Jonas, you look back and you say, God was with me. He was holding my right hand. He did not let me fall off that cliff to utter destruction. The fact is, beloved, that we have to say these words every day. There's not a day goes by that we don't say, with respect to that day as we look back on it, God was with me. And I can say that because every single day we sin. Every single day, though it may not characterize itself with these particular sins as we have them described in Psalm 73, the fact is, every day because of our sin, by that sin we're walking away from God. By that sin we're walking selfishly. But when I'm led to repentance by God at the end of the day for the sins that I've committed, and I attempt to understand that in my relationship to God, the conclusion to which I came, when I know my sin, is that God was with me. God held my right hand. God would not let me go. The glorious truth that is so precious to the Church of Jesus Christ, that of the preservation of the saints. And what the way this is described in verse 23 at the beginning is that he was with God. That little prepositional phrase in verse 23 is so important. Asaph says, I was with God. And that little prepositional phrase, with God, you have described the beautiful truth of salvation, certainly, but of our covenant, life and communion with God. To be with God is to be one with God. To be with God is to be part of the family of God. To be with God is to know that He is my God and I am His child. And the nature of that being with God, as the text says, is that it is continually true. We are with God because of God's work to save us. We are with God in covenant communion with Him according to the decree of election. It's appropriate to bring up God's decree in this verse because the next verse speaks of it specifically, His counsel, in a slightly different context. We'll explain that later in the sermon, but it draws our mind to that particular work of God. We are with God because according to the decree of election in Jesus Christ, He chose us unto salvation. We are with God because it is grounded in the precious blood of Jesus Christ and in His resurrection from the dead. The only way to say I'm with the living God, with life with Him, is through the work of Jesus Christ. And I am with God because in time the Spirit of God has been worked into my heart such that I have the life of Jesus Christ in me. And as one who is with God, the child of God says exactly what Asaph says in the text, I am continually with Him. It's very interesting, I found in my study of this passage, that that word continually in the text is the same word that's used in the Old Testament, to describe the daily sacrifices that would be offered at the house of God. The morning and evening sacrifices that would always be present in the house of God in the Old Testament. Always was the blood being shed in the Old Testament. And that's the point. Why is it the case that we are continually with God, never let go by the hand of God? It's because of the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ is a powerful blood. The blood of Jesus Christ is an efficacious blood that atones for sin, truly works life. And if one is saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, there is nothing anyone can ever do, there is no circumstance that we can ever experience that will lead us to be separated from God. The blood of Jesus Christ preserves God's people. And the evidence of God's preserving hand in the lives of His people is exactly what Asaph was led to in Psalm 73. How could he say what he does in Psalm 73, verse 23? I'm always with God. I was always held by God. What is the evidence in the life of the child of God that this is true? The evidence is that God leads His children to repentance and to a conscious and active faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Asaph was led to in Psalm 73. He describes at the beginning of the psalm the struggle that he was enduring. He was foolishly envious of the wicked. He was doubting God's goodness to him. And then we read in the middle of the psalm, the turning point of the psalm, until I went to the house of God. When he went to the house of God and the truth was revealed to him, he understood it. He understood that the end of the wicked was utter destruction. He understood what we're going to talk to about in a moment, that the end of the righteous is everlasting life. And immediately after that, after receiving that truth in the house of God, we read in the text, he was pricked in his reins. Verse 21, his heart was grieved. He says he was foolish, he was ignorant, he was as a beast before him. God preserved him, and God preserved him by leading him to repentance. And in that sorrow over sin, those same sacrifices that were at that temple, to a faith and a trust that those sins were forgiven and that he was right with God through the work of the promised Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come. Verse 23 explains that we are held by God. Verse 24 takes this figure one step further and says that we are guided by God too. Now this builds on this truth of being held by God, preserved by God. That in and of itself is a wonderful truth. To simply reckon with the reality that I am always by my right hand held by God. And then comes verse 24 that says not only is that true, not only is your right hand always held by God, but your right hand is held by God in such a way that you're being guided by God according to His counsel to a certain end, which is glory. Verse 24 speaks of God's counsel. God's counsel brings us to the life of the triune God prior to the creation of the heavens and the earth. Prior to all things being made by God as it's described in Genesis 1 and 2, God had life. God had a wonderful, eternal, covenant life within Himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in that life of the triune God prior to making all things, He had a counsel, an eternal counsel. And that counsel, very simply, was His plan for absolutely everything that takes place in time and in history. The counsel referred to in Psalm 73, verse 24, is all comprehensive. When we talk about God's counsel, there is nothing, sin even, that is outside of the counsel of God. That's true. And we could go on and on about that and point to all of the things that happen in the world, all of the things that have happened in history and say, that's God's counsel playing out, all leading to a certain end. That's not the emphasis of Psalm 73. When Psalm 73, verse 24, mentions God's counsel, there's a specific aspect of God's counsel that is on the foreground. And the aspect of God's counsel on the foreground is the very thing Psalm 73 was all about. And what Psalm 73 was all about are the troubling, earthly circumstances that God's people go through. And on the flip side of that, the prosperity, the ease of life that oftentimes the wicked experience in their lives. And Asaph comes to the conclusion with respect to both of those, that all of that is taking place according to God's counsel. With respect to the wicked, it's God's counsel that is governing their life. It's God's counsel that is flourishing them with earthly goods, earthly riches, a life of ease. But as he says in the middle of the psalm, God had a purpose with that. He was setting them on slippery places, leading them to destruction. One of the main doctrinal truths that is altogether undermined and really destroyed is that of common grace in Psalm 73. There is no such thing as common grace exactly because of this truth. That God gives them their riches according to His counsel. And He's leading them in slippery places to everlasting destruction. But that's not the focus tonight. The focus tonight is on God's counsel as it relates to your life personally, my life personally, particularly with respect to the hardships of this earthly life. That's according to God's counsel. It's according to God's counsel. When your body is altogether breaking down and you experience pain day in and day out, it's according to God's counsel. When your mind only maybe 6 months earlier or a year earlier was sharp, clear, now it becomes very fuzzy and difficult. It's according to God's counsel. When the close loved one is no longer with you and taken in the way of death, one of the hardest things that we face in this earthly life that really never goes away. So it may have been very recent, but it may have been long ago. But that earthly circumstance is always there and always difficult. It's God's counsel that's governing and controlling the difficult circumstances we have with each other at times. We're sinners. Sin is so damaging. The effects of sin are so hard, such that our relationships with each other at times are very, very hard, and it's difficult to understand why this is the way that we have to go through in our life here below. That's the focus of God's counsel on Psalm 73, verse 24. Those are the things that take place according to God's counsel. But here's the beautiful truth of verse 24, that counsel that includes all of those times of difficulty of which Asaph speaks in Psalm 73 is that which is guiding me in my life. That's what we need to know in this life. Not just that God has a counsel for me in my life, but what I need to know and what you need to know is that that counsel has an end in mind. It has a purpose in mind. And that purpose is to lead me to a certain place. The figure is a good figure. The figure of a father taking the right hand of a son or a daughter to keep them safe as they walk through a very treacherous terrain with a cliff on the side. It's not just to hold them there and to keep them safe, but it's to guide them on that path because they want to get to the end safely. And when that father holds son or daughter in their hand, that father shows, I love you, son. I care for you, son. I'm not going to let you go, son. I'm going to get you to the end, son, because you are my son. That's what God is doing with His counsel. He holds us in His love for us, and He says, my counsel is going to get you to that end. It's guiding you. It's directing you afterward to glory. And all of what you are going through now is part of that path to get you to glory. It's that truth that we believe by faith. We believe that truth by faith and confess that truth all our lives long. And it's important, beloved, that that's our approach. That these words of Psalm 73, 23, and 24, which were Asaph's words in Scripture, the child of God's words, therefore, are the words that we speak every day of our lives. And my point right now is to say this, that we say this in the midst of the afflictions of this earthly life. When you look at Asaph, there is no reason to believe that anything changed in his life outwardly. There's no reason to believe that Asaph came to these realizations regarding the prosperity of the wicked and the plagued life of the righteous, both of their ends, and how this all works out according to the plan of God. There's no reason to believe that he came to this understanding after he experienced a difficulty in this earthly life. It's not the case that his life was hard. Then his life got easier. Then he went to the house of God. Then he understands. Then he says the words of our text. I believe his life was exactly the same. He still saw the wicked in their prosperity. He looked at his own life and he said, my life is still, earthly speaking, very, very hard, but now I know the truth and I confess the truth. And this is important for us as God's people because sometimes that can be our mentality. I'll only say it if I understand it. I'll only say it if God delivers me from it. I'll only say it maybe in the future when things change in my life. That's not the point. The point is to say in the strength of faith, God's word is sufficient. I may not understand it. Oftentimes we don't. I may not know how this was needed in my life as part of the journey that's leading me to glory. But that's faith. Faith says God's word says it. Faith says, I know God's love for me in Jesus Christ. Faith says, I don't need to understand it according to my human wisdom, but I believe it. And in the midst of the breakdown of the body and when the mind is starting to go, in the midst of the loss of the dear loved one soon ago or many years ago, but it still resurrects in our minds, in the midst of this very troubling circumstance with a fellow believer or family member, we say in the strength of faith, God's holding me. I'm with Him. This is according to His counsel. And yes, emphatically yes, in the strength of faith you say, He's guiding me one day to glory. And we make that confession every day, knowing that one day we are going to be received to that glory. The text talks about glory, a description very simply of heaven and what is to come for us in the life to come. Glory is beautiful. Glory is amazing because of what won't be there. What won't be there are all of these things that we're talking about right now. What won't be there are all of the circumstances of this earthly life that make life so very hard at times. What won't be there is our sinful flesh. Think about that. can hardly imagine this. Hardly imagine this. Last breath here, first breath in heaven. Can you imagine waking up in heaven, seeing Jesus Christ and immediately realizing it's gone. It's gone. When I think about Christ and God and the truth, there's no longer that opposing side that I always have to fight against when I'm thinking about my salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can hardly imagine what that will be like when that sinful flesh is no longer with us. But this is the wonder of heaven. It's that Jesus is going to be there. It's that we're going to one day be face to face with our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to see in the resurrected body the nail prints in the hands and say, that's my Savior. That's my crucified Savior. That's why I'm here. Because He loved me. And He saved me by His precious blood. And one day, we will, as the text says, be received to glory. Held by His hand all our life long. Guided every second of every day until that time when we are received into glory. Right now, beloved, as we sit here tonight, Jesus is doing the very thing that He said He was going to do in John 14. I go to heaven to prepare a place for you. I go to heaven to prepare a place, a room, for every one of my children for whom I laid down my life on the cross. Right now, as sure as we are sitting here together in this sanctuary, Jesus Christ is in heaven doing exactly that. We don't know when the end will be. Only God does, according to this counsel of which we've been speaking. But one day, the end will come. And for everyone for whom Jesus laid down His life, for everyone who has faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, this will be true. The last breath here is the moment that Jesus, with His loving arms, takes one of His own to that glory. That's what's in store for us as the people of God. Foretaste of which we have right now in God's house. But that's to come. Tonight we have to go home. Tomorrow we have to wake up. We have to go about our callings this week. I don't know your lives well, but I know God's word, which is, many are the afflictions of the righteous. So we leave this sanctuary tonight. We wake up tomorrow and on Tuesday and on Wednesday. And in the strength of faith, no matter the hardships of this life, we take on our lips the words of Asaph. This is what my God does. He's with me. He holds me by His right hand. He's guiding me with His counsel. And I know that one day I will be received to glory. May God so work that confession in our hearts and lives in this week to come. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we thank Thee for the truth of Thy Word, a very beautiful and comforting truth. And we pray for Thy Spirit to work in our hearts so that we believe it, and so that we live it, and so that we confess it in our lives. For we know that the very confession of this truth is that which upholds us in the times of difficulty in this life. Continue to preserve us, O God. Continue to do what Thou dost say in Thy Word, and grant us a confidence in Thy Word, because Thou art God, Thou art God Almighty, Thou art our Savior in Jesus Christ. His name do we pray. Amen. Let's sing now together a versification of Psalm 73. 203.